Civilization, presented by Dr. Nori Dumaria. It falls to few to have their names inscribed on the roll of fame while still living. But such is deservedly the good fortune of Roscoe Roy Spencer, who was born in America in 1888. During the years 1917 and 18, Spencer held an important advisory post in the United States Navy. Later, he was in charge of the bubonic plague suppressive measures, and in 1922 was sent to the Rocky Mountains by the Hygienic Laboratory at Washington to investigate the ghastly and devastating outbreak of spotted fever. It is a spring morning in 1922. A train is just drawing into the station at Hamilton in western Montana.
Hello, Spencer, old man.
Hello, Parker, you old bozo.
Glad you've put on condition since I last saw you. Oh, pardon, my wife, Dr. Parker, dear. And my two kitties, Parker.
How do you do, Dr. Parker? Benny's been telling me all about you, coming down in the train. He especially stressed the fact that you said light at the professor's coattails that left you one day.
Well, what a pal you've turned out to be, Spenny. Trying to prejudice me in your wife's eyes before I've met her.
I suppose there's no actual danger of our children taking this spotted fever, is there, Dr. Parker?
Not if you keep them away from ticks.
Do you think ticks are the cause of the outbreak, then, Parker?
It wouldn't surprise me. Well, we can talk that over when I've got you settled in. Well, if you're ready, I'll drive you over to your quarters. We've fixed up something that's not too awful in the old schoolhouse. There are three rooms for family use, Mrs. Spencer, and a bug house for your old man.
Bug house?
And that's Montana for laboratory.
Oh, I see. The bug house relieves me considerably. Now, Spenny won't have any excuse for dumping his beastly insects down on the kitchen table.
My wife loathes my profession, Parker.
I admire your profession, Spenny. It's your bugs I loathe.
Oh, well, come along. Here, let me carry one of those hefty offsprings of yours.
Oh, here you are.
Come on, Sonny. Gad, Spenny, old man, I never knew you had such fine little tackers as these.
I thought the world knew. I boasted about them often enough. Say, Parker, is this the car?
Yeah, but don't be too alarmed about it. It'll get us there all right, even if it is tied up with fencing wire. Come on, all of you, jump in.
Some months later, Roscoe Spencer and Parker are at work in their makeshift laboratory, still in search of a vaccine that will cure the hitherto doomed victims of the spotted fever. Spencer is examining some guinea pigs.
Phew! This awful heat. Well, it's 3 days now, Parker, since those little codgers got their injection of the serum we made from those ticks we took from the goats. My hunch was correct, all right.
You mean the guinea pigs have got a load of spotted fever?
And how? Their test shows 105, rising 106. And that's not fever, ask me.
So now we know what causes the annual epidemics up here.
Yep. And it's taken us months to find it out.
And a pretty decent-sized risk we've all been taking, handling these bugs with bare hands.
Well, I suppose that's what God made us bacteriologists for.
Still, we might have carried some of those deadly little devils around our clothes. Might have even taken them home. I say, Spenny, you have to be careful. Your kids and your wife, you know.
Yeah. By the way, I wonder where young Billy Gettinger has got to. Not like him to be late in the job.
Billy's hoping to get a full-time job as a scientist when he grows up, so he tells me.
That's what makes him so keen on it. He's watched every experiment we've made. Beats me why he's not down here this morning.
He'll turn up later.
Sure he will. I'm not worrying. Now, listen, old-timer. Having found the cause of this spotted fever, we'll have to wrestle a cure for it. And I've got an idea. I'm going to mix carbolic acid with a fever serum and shoot it into one of these little pigs. Say, pass over that mortar. Let's get busy.
Sure, here you are.
Greetings. Nice of the test tube.
Morning, Mrs. Spencer.
Hello, honey. Come right in. I thought curiosity would get the better of you.
Curiosity didn't bring me here, old boy.
No, wifely affection, perhaps?
Nothing so romantic, darling.
And just what?
Just this loathsome-looking bug in this matchbox.
Say, let's have a look. Here. Yeah. Where did you find this?
Passenger Junior's leg, just now.
Good heavens. Parker, look at this.
What is it, Spenny?
Oh, nothing, dear.
Don't try and fool me. Tell me. Is it a fever tick?
Yes, and the filthiest specimen I've seen.
Benny, it was biting Junior. It will give him the fever.
Yeah, he'll get the fever all right. And it's my cursed fault if he does. I should have stripped myself every night before going home to make sure none of those foul things had crawled into my clothing.
Penny, you'll have to give the child something quickly. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Mr. Spencer.
Well, what is it?
That young assistant of yours is in his room. He's got pains all over him, and he's raving, yelling at the top of his voice.
What's he look like?
He looks like he's going black to me.
Then he's got it.
You mean young Billy Gettinger's got the spotted fever?
Yeah, he's got it all right, dear.
But how?
Search me. Now, I come to think of it, Billy's been looking pretty seedy for the last few days.
Yeah, and wouldn't give in, thinking he'd be making a nuisance of himself while he were working day and night, trying to solve the problem of the spotted death.
Call Big Henry Cowan, quick. I'll get him to have a look at the kid while I finish this serum.
Spinny, what about Junior? Can't you?
I can't do anything for anybody until I get this serum
made. You must do something, Spinny. He'll die. Junior will die.
Oh, for the love of Pete, don't worry, dear. Go home and give him a big dose of castor oil. There's one way to save him, and I'm trying to do it. This is a fight against time. I'll be along as soon as I can.
Oh, Spinny, my baby.
Forgive me, honey, but I'm at my wit's end. Don't you see, I must get this serum made. Even then, it's only 10 chances in 100 that'll be any good. It's utterly impossible to do anything until I try this stuff out.
Say, Spinny, it never rains, but it falls.
What's wrong now, Parker?
Callan's down with it.
What?
Take me home, shivering and groaning in agony.
And pick... Parker, spring to it. Bring me those infected bugs and plenty of... Hurry, man, for God's sake.
Here you are, Spencer.
I'll go and give Junior the oil, then, and see if I can do anything for Cowan.
Ah, good girl. Thanks, honey. I'll be there as soon as I can make it.
Don't worry too bad, Mrs. Spencer.
I'll try not to. But don't forget, it's my baby that's infected.
Ain't it hell being a mother?
Sure. Give me the carbolic acid, Parker. Thanks. Yeah. Talk about a death race to the odds in favor of the Grim Reaper.
How much acid are you putting in?
I won't risk more than 0.5% or 1%. Yeah, that's in.
Pretty gory-looking mess in the mortar now.
Yes, but I'm hoping it'll clear. If it does, the serum might be successful.
How are you going to make the test? Guinea pig won't tell you much. You've got no monkeys here or rabbits. Gee whiz, that mess is clearing some.
Sure it is. Here's the clear red fluid coming up above the sediment. So far, so good.
Looks all right, but the cure might be more deadly than the disease.
That's what we're going to find out.
But how, since you've got no animals?
We've got no time to make an animal test, even if we had them to test them on. Billy's dying, and my youngster may go too, so we'll have to make a human test now, right now, Parker. Pass me that hypo.
Okay.
Good. Now we'll fill it with this vaccine. There we are. Now we're all set.
Say, what are you doing? Stop, Spencer, stop. I won't allow you to shoot that stuff into yourself.
There's no other way, old man. This vaccine's got to be tested, and I'm testing it right now.
Might kill you.
That's what God made us bacteriologists for, old man.
The vaccine was a success, but its discovery came too late to save Billy Gettinger and Big Henry Cowan. Junior alone of the three was spared. Later, when Spencer had banished the grim specter of the spotted death from Montana, he took his wife and children back to Washington. He was quieter, sterner, and smiles didn't come so easily to his lips. The tragedy that had overtaken his fellow searchers had left its mark on his heart. We now find him accompanied by his wife and Parker at the hygienic laboratory in Washington, where a sad little ceremony is being performed by the governor of the institution. A group of fellow students stand round listening in respectful silence as the governor, with deep emotion, addresses them.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, in unveiling this tablet to the memory of two of our fellow laboratory workers, I would like to say that courage comes easily to a man on the battlefield, where there are so many shining examples to lead him on to deeds of bravery. But for a man to deliberately risk his life, not by a merciful bullet in a highly emotional crisis, but in cold blood in the cause of science, that is heroism. And what finer example of heroic self-sacrifice have we than the action of Assistant Surgeon Roscoe Spencer, who, without a moment's hesitation, shot the disease-laden contents of a hypodermic syringe into his own body in order to test the vaccine, which later was to save so many thousands of victims from the hideous spotted death. The saddest part of all is that his discovery arrived too late to save the lives of our valued and loyal fellow searchers, William Pettinger and Henry Cowan, to whose memory this tablet has been erected. On the altar of Spencer's achievement, we will burn the fires of our deepest and heartfelt regrets at the death of these two courageous men who gave their lives for science.